Now I must move along here. Verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Now, there are several things that I'd like to say about this particular incident. And one of them is this, that the resurrected, glorified Christ wants to fellowship with those that are his own. And he only fellowships finally with those who believe in him. You see, he disappeared from these men, and he talked to them about these things. He began at Moses and the prophets. I'd love to have been there that evening, wouldn't you, and have listened to him? And they wanted him to stay, but he acted as if he's going on and at the table at the breaking of bread. And I believe that that's a wonderful time to gather around a table to eat and to share the things of Christ. It's a wonderful place. There's nothing wrong with a church banquet, provided it's not all given over to music and hearing some soloist or a magician entertain us. We need to, in the church, emphasize the Word of God. We've got too much church program that leaves Jesus Christ out. When he's in the midst, breaking the bread, I tell you, friends, there's blessing, has to be blessing. And if there's not, then you're with the wrong crowd. This happened to be a good crowd, though, because in verse 32, they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the Scriptures? And they rose up the same hour. They returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. You see, he appeared to Simon Peter privately because there were some things that had to be straightened out, and they were straightened out. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Now in the upper room, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And I'm sure that would have been your reaction and mine had we been there. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands, my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. I don't want to labor the point, but it was flesh and bones, not flesh and blood. He'd shed his blood on the cross. Now, and while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And this is a master stroke, and Dr. Luke, the doctor, gives it to us. Proof that he's a human being is that he could eat fish. And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat it before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning him. They just didn't believe his words. Someone has said concerning the words of the Lord Jesus and the words of the Word of God, that if you cut them, they'll bleed. They surely will. They are living words. Now notice verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. You will have to have the Spirit of God to open your mind and heart to understand. This Bible study could be just meaningless to you, and I hope it's not. The Spirit of God can make it real to you, and he's the only one that can. Our Lord opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now notice the global outlook, the worldwide viewpoint. This gospel is to go to the ends of the earth. And the other great truth, ye are witnesses of these things. Witnesses to the world, that was his method. And the message was that he had died and rose again, and that by trusting him, sinners could be saved. Now he says, verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. That promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. That power is the Holy Spirit. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. The last time they saw him was in the attitude of blessing. And that's his attitude today toward the world. And his attitude toward you and me today, if we're his children, is that when we see him, it'll be in the attitude of blessing. He does not come in judgment for the church. He comes in blessing, and we're to look with great joy and anticipation to his coming. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. This is the testimony of the Gospel of Luke.